Well, praise the Lord. Well, here we are at another day the Lord has made. I'm feeling better this week, praise God. Gay is on the mend, and she'll try to talk a little bit a little later on, but we'll see. You know, the Lord is gracious and kind and loving, and sometimes we forget that. We let the pressures of life and the realities of life overshadow the truth that His grace is amazing and it's working in our lives. And so this morning, as I ask every morning on Sunday, is for us to turn our attention and turn our gaze to the one who turns all His focus on us. Never turns His attention away from us. Always has His eyes on us, just as He has the eye on the sparrow. And Lord, we just thank You that we are Yours and You are ours. Lord, that we have oneness and unity with You, Lord. We have fellowship with You. Lord, we have common union with You. And this morning, Lord, I pray that we could just celebrate, Lord, all the good things that You have done. That we would be able to rejoice, Lord, even though maybe we're not feeling 100%, Lord. We'd be able to lift our voices and lift our hearts before You. That we would set our gaze on You, Lord. We turn our affections away from the things of this life that really are all temporal and will not add up to anything eternal. We turn our attention to You, Lord, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the God of God. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for sending Your Son. Thank You, Lord, for loving us so much that You gave Him up. That now, because of that sacrifice, Lord, we have grace, supernatural empowerment to live for You, supernatural empowerment to do things that we would not be able to do in our own strength. And we just thank You, Lord, for this amazing grace.
You would take my blame, that You would bear my cross. fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
Break every chain.
Yes, Lord.
If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss. My heart turns violently inside of my chest.
I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way yes, He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves. Yeah, He loves.
Receive your love today. We receive, Holy Spirit, your abiding presence. And with you there, love is there. So we recognize that love this morning. That love that does not condemn, that love that does not judge, that love does not shame. That love that encourages. That love that believes all things. That love that hopes all things. That love that endures all things. That love that believes in us. Believes in us because you live in us. And you've transformed us. You transformed us into who you are. And we receive that truth into our hearts today again, Lord. That as you are, so are we in this world. Lord, your love. Your love that makes no sense. Your love that has spanned the ages. Your love that was exhibited in your Son before the foundations of the earth because He was crucified before there ever was an earth. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that your love searches us out. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, a love that is so powerful and so strong that when I was singing that last verse, I just have this deep, such a strong feeling that if I could, I would just jump through this roof because His love is so strong and so good for us. And sometimes we just sit and And what happens when you sit? You just kind of just get into this comfortable slump and I just have this excitement and joy inside of me right now because He loves me. He loves you so, so much. And I look out and I see your faces and I just want to just share this with each and every one of you so that you can feel the way that I'm feeling right now. That you just can't tolerate the love that He has for you because it's so strong and so powerful that you can't just sit in your seat. So, Pastor, can we just sing that last one just one more time?
Yes, all right. So as a testimony, I'd like to share, and I've held back probably about a month or so to share it because I've been waiting for my daughter to be present so that she can hear. But for a while, probably a year or so, we've been having struggles, mainly her. You know, she's 14. 14-year-olds don't need troubles, don't need issues. It was bad. Depression, anger, self-closure, wouldn't open up, rejecting our love, rejecting our kindness, to the point where she didn't even want to be around the house or around us. Why? Because where the spirit of truth is, the enemy must flee. Can't be around it, right? So with that said, about a month ago, our pastors offered spiritual healing after service. And I came straight up here, and I told the pastors, you know, we're having these problems with my daughter. No matter how I pray, no matter how we go about it, she just won't break loose, holding back, holding tight. And as caring, loving parents, it hurts to see your child reject you and not open up and go through these issues. But thankfully, with the power of prayer and our God's unfailing love, all these songs hit home. Amazing Grace, Unfailing Love. He brings chaos into order. Break every chain. I believe in all those things, but why they weren't working for us, I don't know. So I'm so proud to say that for the last 4 or 5 weeks, my baby came home. My daughter has been so loving. She has been so into spiritual things that just, it's great. It's so hard to explain, but I had to share that. You know, we have such great pastors here. You know, this is the house of true worshipers, like we shared a few weeks ago. So I'm so thankful. Honey, you know, don't listen to the father of lies. Listen to the truth, the spirit of truth, and you should be set free. You've been so great. You've been so loving. It's just amazing. And I'm so thankful for everybody here, for our pastors, and more than anything, for God. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. You know, we all go through times, you know, where it's hard. You know, the enemy does jerk our chain, and then life, you know, happens, and issues happen, and it seems like we fall into the trap of believing, like you said, the lie over the truth. And the truth is that we're loved. The truth is that we're accepted in the beloved. The truth is that we don't have to do anything to prove to God that, you know, that we're his, because we are his. And that reality that, you know, he has bought us back. He has set us free. He's broken every chain is awesome. Yeah, praise God.
Can I share something?
Yes, absolutely.
So I wanted to just share that I am going to start having a Bible study at my house for ladies in the middle of the week to kind of just give us a little oomph. And we did cell group for a really long time, and that kind of, I can't even tell you why it stopped, but we're going to start again, and it's going to be on Thursday nights. I'm actually open to a time, so if anybody's interested and you want to come and see me and give your input, it would be helpful. I can do it earlier in the afternoon, like around 4:30, or I can do it later in the evening around 6. Whatever's going to be the most convenient for most of us. We have to obviously do it where everybody, you know, consensus. But I want to open it up, and I want to open it up to our teenage girls as well. I really feel like even though we've had a struggle with, you know, children's youth, nursery, all of that, we need to start making this, taking the steps forward in faith, believing God's going to grow that. And this is how I feel that God is directing me, is for me to start having. And so it's going to be at my house. It's not going to be here at the church. It's going to be over at the house. And so if you're interested in it, please see me afterwards and just say that you're interested in what would be the one of the best times for you, or maybe two options. And then I will get a hold of everybody and let everybody know when it is, and then and we'll start probably after the 1st of March, I would think, because of everybody being so sick right now.
The 1st of March is this Thursday.
Oh, well,
it's coming quick. How about after next Sunday, and see how you're feeling?
Yeah, let's do that.
Because you need to be feeling better.
Yeah. So if you're interested, please come see me. I really want, and if you have babies, bring babies. I mean, it does not matter. It does not matter. We will get together no matter what, because we just need to get together and really, really study God's word together, you know, open it up and really just start learning who he really is to us. And so if you're interested in that, see me after church. That'd be great.
And on Wednesday nights, we're at Panda and George Gomez's. George and Panda have opened up their home. Zeke and Tara were the host home for, wow, I don't know how many years, 12 years. 12 years, she knows. And George really felt it in his heart, and Panda, that they wanted to let their place be the place where we meet. So it's on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. And it's ours is not like any big official thing. We're going through a book called The Book of Mysteries, or unless somebody has something else on their heart that night, sometimes we do. But it's really just to get together. You know, in the Bible, in Hebrews, it talks about not forsaking the assembling together, which, you know, this is obviously an assembling, but there's something also about, you know, 2 or 3, 4 or 5 gathering together in his name, and to have relationship, that he really does something. He does something that is, I believe, eternal in our lives. And so I just wanted to open that up. I didn't mean to take away from your advertisement, but what's that? Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank everyone for enduring with last week, with me being sick and not being really prepared for the service. And it seemed like the Lord made up the difference. Today, we're going to be heading back into John chapter 4, which I'm excited about. And we're going to talk about food you know not of. And Jesse is preparing for a test tomorrow, and he hasn't been eating because of his preparation, and he's going like, oh, wow, I want that food. I need that food. And I think you said like macaroni and cheese and all these other things. Huh? I don't know what you were mentioning, all kinds of food, because you're hungry. So it's like, but we're not talking about physical food today, just so you guys know. We're going to be talking about food that is, that, well, most of us don't know of, and we'll see exactly what that is. So are you good to read? You're going to try. Okay. Well, let's see if she can read.
All right. John 4, 16 through 24. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Go on.
Yep.
25 through 34. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming," parentheses, "who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" Or, "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore, the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work."
So here back up in John 16, we enter into the story with the woman at the well again. And this woman is coming in the middle of the day, and she is somewhat of an outcast, I would say. She's not with the rest of the women in the early of the morning. And Jesus begins to inquire of her, we read previous, that if he would give her a drink. And she says, "Boy, I'm a Samaritan woman, and you're asking me for a drink. Is there something wrong with this picture?" And he goes, "Well, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask from me, and I would give you rivers of living water." It's okay, Jesus loves babies. "I would give you rivers of living water." And she goes, "Well, you know, sir, give me this water so when I have to come back to this well." And so she immediately thinks in the natural that she wants this water. And he's saying, "No, this water that I've given to you will be a spring of living water, springing up to eternal life." So then Jesus says, "Well, go call your husband." And she goes, "Well, sir, I don't have a husband." He goes, "That's correct. You said that you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the guy who you're with right now isn't your husband." And she goes into her natural mind, "Oh, I perceive you're a prophet because you know quite a bit about me." And she immediately gets into religion. "Oh, our fathers worshipped here, you know, and this is our mountain. You know, this is where we worship God. And you just say that Jerusalem is a place to worship God." And Jesus says, "Listen, woman, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem to worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." And he should be saying, "For Yeshua is of the Jews," because that means salvation, which is interesting. So he could say, "For Yeshua," which was his name, "is of the Jews." Jesus is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that was the last one that we had. I wanted to rehearse it because it really sets the stage for what happens now. The woman says to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And this is where Jesus spills the beans. I'm that one who's speaking to you. I am the Christ. I am he. And at this point, his disciples came back, and they marveled that he was talking with a woman. So now the disciples are in the process of realizing, you're talking to a woman, much less a Samaritan woman. And yet no one said, what do you seek? Why are you talking with her? They're thinking to themselves.
They're in the flesh.
Yeah, they're
still
in the flesh.
Just like she was.
Yep, they're going like, oh boy, he's doing it again. He's going out of all
the rules.
He's breaking all the so-called religious patterns that we've been taught. And yeah, he's a rule breaker. The woman left her water pot. So the very thing that she went to get, she left. So her life was impacted in such a way that she wasn't worried about the water anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She now wanted to go into the city and tell the men.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Now, it's interesting. We don't hear that in their conversation. So who knows what else Jesus told her? Because her communication is, he told me all things that I ever did. So it sounds like he laid out a whole bunch to reveal himself to this woman. And then she said, could this be the Christ? Well, he said he was, but she's asking them that question. Then they went out of the city and came to him. And here's where I want to be today. Yeah, right. Sorry, I'm behind. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. So again, They're in the natural. We've got food. We went and got food. Rabbi, go ahead and eat now. And Jesus says to him something that's incredible. I have food to eat, which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another in the flesh, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Who brought him food? I didn't bring him. We brought food. How'd he get food? Jesus said to him, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So looking at these two verses again. But he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. And what was that food? He says right here, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Notice that this work wasn't just Jesus' work. This was the Father's work that Jesus was doing. And this was the Father's will that Jesus was being obedient to. So if we go to Psalms, and we're going to go back in the Bible a little bit here. We're going to look at this heart that was in Messiah. And what was this food that he was eating that he didn't need regular food. Do you notice they offered him food? He didn't need food. He did not need to have physical food. So what does that mean? That means that whatever Jesus was doing was satiating, was satisfying that normal food that we would need. So, let's see what that was. In Psalms 40, 6 through 10, it says this, sacrifice an offering you did not desire. My ears have opened. You have opened, thank you. My ears you have opened, thank you. Burnt offerings and sin offering you do not require. Now, how many have read their Old Testament? Jesse has. Few of us. Probably all of us have looked into it or heard it. Sacrifice an offering you did not desire. Now, when you read Exodus and you read Leviticus and you read Numbers and you read Deuteronomy, it doesn't necessarily show you that he's not interested in sacrifice and offering. You read Genesis and he's asking Abraham to sacrifice
Isaac,
his son. But this is a prophetic statement that I believe we need to grasp is that God is not just interested in sacrifices and offerings. As much as the Old Testament tries to show us contrary,
burnt offerings and sin offerings you don't require. And what is he after? He says, then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. Now, this is speaking of Jesus. And we will see in Hebrews that the writer of Hebrews repeats this same passage, changes it a little bit, but repeats the context of it. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. So in other words, there is a will in heaven that has been identified as a scroll or as a book that Jesus is coming to fulfill. And I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. So the sacrifice is an offering, the burnt offerings and the sin offerings that we think God required was only in obedience to delighting to do his will. Mm-hmm. That his will was above sacrifices. And if you remember right, there was a story in the Old Testament about a king. And this king was told to go and plunder this other tribe, people. They were called the Amalekites, and they were to totally destroy them.
Everything.
Everything. I mean, every single piece of gear of them, people, was supposed to be done away with.
Every treasure, every animal,
every person.
Everything.
He was telling them.
Not a speck of anything left.
Right, which is hard to understand, but. Anyway, the point was is that the king thought, well, we'll just save the animals because we can sacrifice the animals and we can give God a sacrifice. We can worship him. But he wasn't told to do that. He was told to get rid of everybody and get rid of all the animals. And he kept the king alive. I don't know why, just maybe to say he had captured him and have him as a prize. But Samuel comes into the camp, and he hears the sheep, and he hears the lowing of these animals. And he goes to Saul, and he goes, Saul, what are you doing? What's going on here? He goes, well, guess what I did? I made it so that I could worship God with a huge sacrifice. And Samuel said, oh, Saul, man, you are just... You don't get it, do you? You do not get it. You don't realize that it's obedience that is better than sacrifice. To do the will of God is better than sacrifices and offerings. Yet you think the sacrifices and offerings are the big deal, but they're not. Obedience to my will, to what the will of the Father asked you to do, is the treasure that he seeks. That's hard for our natural mind, especially if you read the Old Testament, to see that. Because all through those five books, it's about seemingly sacrifices and offerings. But it's all about being obedient to the will of the Father.
And I'm just thinking here, my wheels are turning, but it could be that his will is that we make offerings or that we sacrifice something.
Mm-hmm.
But that needs to be before whatever it is. Do you understand what I'm saying? That may...
The sacrifices and offerings are a part of the love relationship that we have with him.
Right.
They're not to... See, Saul wanted to please God. Saul wanted to give him a sacrifice. So, man, he's going to look at me like, Saul, you went way above and beyond the call of duty here. You kept all the animals. You're going to sacrifice a huge sacrifice to me. Wow, Saul, that's what he was hoping for. That's right. What he was believing in. When obedience was an act of love.
Right. But what I'm saying is that it's not that it says, I delight to do your will. It may be that delight to do his will is that he wants us to do an offering or do a sacrifice of something in our lives. Not necessarily, I don't know if I can make this... Does anybody get what I'm meaning?
I get where you're trying to go, yeah.
It may...
So a sacrifice may be obedience.
The will may be the sacrifice or the offering.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah.
The will of God.
Right.
We have to be open to anything that God wants of us. And sometimes that is big. Like, I don't know how many were here when I gave up my job. Do you guys remember that? I mean, I stopped working. This was like 9 years ago,
right.
8 years ago. And we felt God say, you need to quit working. And it was a big thing for us. I mean, like, you know, but we wanted to do what God wanted us to do. So our offering, the sacrifice, was my job.
But in obedience to what
in obedience to his will.
Hearts.
Does right. that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to not be giving him things or offering things to him, but he wants it to be from the heart. He wants it to be his will from your heart. He wants there to be an order.
Right.
And God is a God of order. He's not a God of disorder. He's a God that lays things out, and this is the way. Am I making any sense?
Yeah.
I hope I am. I don't know if I am, but.
I know when you're feeling kind of fuzzy, it's hard to tell. It's like, am I even on the same page as anybody else? No, go ahead.
Okay. I was kind of taking that as like. I used to be a smoker, and And Pastor Ken caught me smoking when I started smoking again because I had quit.
He caught you, huh?
Oh, he caught me. He saw
Sounds
me,
like
and
Pastor
then
Ken.
And I knew he was going to have something to say to me about it.
Yeah.
But when I walked in, he said, "So you've started those again, huh?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, God will take care of that in time." And so, and there was a lot going on in my life at that time, so I reverted back to smoking as a crutch. And I know also that I can use this to tell other people. People are like, I don't want to go to church. I smoke. God doesn't want me. I have habits that are not, you know, Christian-like. And it's like, and I'm always telling them, you know what? He will take care of that in his time.
Right.
You don't have to quit smoking to come to church. You don't have to quit smoking to have something to say in church. You don't have to quit that habit you have of something else.
Or to receive the love of God.
Yes,
you don't have to quit smoking.
Right. Because God also does things when we're ready to. He will, and we'll think we're not, but he knows we are. Yeah. And that's when, you know, when I was able to finally quit and be quit. You know what I mean? And I've been through some other stressors lately. And smoking is the farthest thing from my brain. You know, but so that's a part of the sacrifice in the will, is that he will ask for that sacrifice eventually, but he will do it, like you said, in his order. And when it's something that he knows that even though you're going to battle with it, you're going to be successful.
You're
going to
be victorious.
It.
That's good. That's good.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. That's good. So in Hebrews, this is the New Testament version of Psalm 40. Therefore, he came into the world, he said, sacrifice, this is speaking of Jesus, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Now, I don't know if anyone noticed, but in the Psalms, it said that ears you have opened for me. And some say, but what's the writer in Hebrews doing here? If you think about it, you have opened my ears. When your ears are open, when you're listening, when you're obedient, your body is surrendered. And so because his ears were open, his body was fully surrendered to the work that it was prepared for. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. So here he even goes on to say, you don't even take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. So it's about doing his will. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that the will of God is not meant to make us feel like we're miserable. Some people think, well, boy, if I do the will of God, I mean, you know, he's telling me to quit smoking right now,
life
and I'm not ready to, yeah. Or he's telling me, you know, to do this or to do that, and I can't do that right now, so how am I going to do the will of God?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. We're going to get to that. You guys are so good with your questions. Previously saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them. Then he said again, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first so that he may establish the second. So if you think about it, he takes away the first. And what was the first? The first was the old covenant. To establish the second, and that is you and I, through the grace of Jesus Christ, through the work of God, now have the power to say, yes, Lord.
Yes.
Even though we in our own strength don't have the power, his grace is sufficient for us to be able to go through anything at any time.
That's so good.
That's good news. So John 5:30, this is Jesus himself saying, I can of myself do nothing. So this is Jesus himself saying, I can't do anything of myself. So if you ever have a hard time saying, I can't do anything of myself, Jesus himself had to say that, which is like, what? As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So Jesus was not even after doing his own will when he was here. He was after doing the will of the Father. He was fully submitted to the scroll, to the book that he was to live out, his life. See, all of us are like a book. You know, it says that he's the author and the finisher of our faith. All of us are like a book. And some of us have had more chapters and more pages written on our book so far that we've lived out. Right? I mean, couldn't you go and write a book based upon your activity? Most of us could write a book because our life is a story. Our life is a communication of what we've learned and how we've grown and mistakes that we've made and successes that we've had. And Jesus' book was fully fulfilled. Right. Now, there's things that I know where I've messed up. I know that the Lord asked me in his book that he wrote for me to do things. And for whatever reason, I wasn't ready for them. That's good because I have the grace of God. I don't need to sit there. I used to fret and worry about all that stuff. Oh, Lord, I'm such a wretched dog because I didn't do what you asked me to do. And he's like, son, I mean, you know, I know that you have issues. That's why I came, so that you could have the righteousness of Christ. I'm not judging you based on your own righteousness. And that was good news. All right. Matthew 26, 36 through 41. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. So he's asking them to pray with him. He went a little farther and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So he's struggling right now with the fact that he's going to go to the cross for you and I. He's going to go and take the sins of the world upon himself and be the propitiation, the payment for your and my disobedience. For our dysfunction, he was going to totally lay down his life and give it up as an offering, as a ransom. But he's saying, Father, if it's possible, if there's a plan B at this point, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. A few verses later, he says, again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. In other words, in the, how did it say it again? Let me find it here, the verse. Behold, I have come to do your will. Then behold, back in Hebrews 10:7. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Full obedience. And what was that to him? That was food. Getting back to, that was food. When he was obedient to God, it was food to him. Now, do you guys think that if we do the will of God and we're obedient, that we too can have food that others don't know about? I believe so. And remember when I said earlier about you had the question about how do we do the will of God? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He's not asking for us to get on a cross. He wants us to live a life of sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now this is probably Paul, the same one who wrote Hebrews. And do not be conformed to this world or to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, is the perfect will of God just us reading something in a book and saying, is someone else saying, well, if you do this, you're following the will of God? Because I've had people tell me that, you know, you have to do this and this and this, and that's following the will of God. But that's not what it says here. It says that we're transformed with a renewing of the mind, a transformation that is like a renovation. It's like a totally redone house is what's happening here. And how do we do that? Well, we do that with the word of God. We do that with the truth. When we hear it, we believe it, and we receive the truth. And as we receive that truth, we are then able to prove or test what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So we can follow the will of God just as you did when you sensed, okay, now it's time to sit these down, hun. It's time to let these go. You were able to do that because your mind was being renewed.
And it was still a struggle.
Oh, doesn't mean it's going to be easy.
Uh-huh. And you do struggle physically sometimes. You know, he doesn't tell us it's easy. He just tells us that we'll be victorious.
Right, and you're not in your own power either. Even though it's a struggle, you're still abiding in his grace and his supernatural empowerment to accomplish it. Because before you tried, it didn't work, right? You tried to do it in your own strength.
Go ahead. It didn't work enough that I didn't go back to it.
Right.
It kind of reminds me of a program I used to watch years and years ago. Has anybody ever seen Trading Spaces, where a family, it's a sister or brothers or friends, and they switch places and they redo a room in their house? Well, never was one room redone in this house the identical same way as it was done in this one. It was something that matched their taste. It was something that matched their lifestyle. It was something that matched who they were. The same thing with God. God's will for me may not be Nani's will that God has for her. It may be totally different.
Probably is.
And it most likely is. But because we're together in the same body, because God has called us together to encourage one another, the will of him for me and the will of him for Nani, they'll work together. It'll come together. Does that make sense? Because I'm not Tara. I'm not Nani. I'm not Chantel. I'm me. And God has things particularly for me he may not have for anybody else. So we may be looking at this and saying, ooh, God, boy, you know, like this morning, I really felt like God was saying, start dancing. And instead of dancing right here, I went all the way back there and started dancing back there because I didn't want to freak anybody out. And God's like, I didn't tell you to dance back here.
Whoops.
Mm-hmm. Whoops. I told you to dance right here. Sorry, Lord, you know. But he may not ask Phyllis to dance for him. He may not ask Vicky or Chantel or, you know, anybody else to do what he asked me to do. I did it, but I did it under my terms. Uh-uh. That does not work. It's still a working out. It's still a process. But his grace is so sufficient for us that he's going to allow our hang-ups. That maybe next Sunday, if he tells me to dance, I'll dance here or there or wherever he tells me to do it. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, his grace is sufficient for us. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Keep in mind that if you're hearing this, oh, how am I going to do? I sense the Holy Spirit, you know, stirring in me now, because this is a message about obedience. So I'm sure the Holy Spirit's touching things in your heart, because he always does that. You know, he takes the word that's being given and he activates it in us. So you're saying, oh man, how am I going to do this will? Because I, Lord, I don't have the strength to do that. Well, that's not bad, because his strength is made perfect in our weakness. So you're admitting your weakness. You're admitting, Lord, I can't do this on my own. It's too big for me. It's too much. I can't handle it. I was telling the Lord that this week. I said, Lord, you know the things that I've been going through. You know I haven't been feeling well. And yet I have this thing that you've put on my heart. I can't even do this at all. I have no strength. You're going to have to do it. And I admitted my weakness. And I believe that his strength is being perfected in that weakness, in that need.
Can you connect the dots now for me?
Because
it may be because I'm fuzzy and didn't get the dots, but we were talking about Jesus saying,
"Oh yeah,
I have food that you do not know about."
Right.
How does that connect that to
this?
Yes.
So Jesus, at the very beginning, if you remember in John 4, it says that he had to go through Samaria. He had to go. And I believe this do the will of him who sent me was the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. That he had to meet her. He had to have that encounter. If you remember right when we talked about it, it was a God encounter. It was an encounter that she did not expect, but God knew about. And God encountered her. And so his food was to meet that woman. His food was to be obedient to the place where he didn't go with the disciples and get food. He stayed and he waited until she came because he knew she was coming. That was just not a happenstance for Jesus. Jesus knew she was coming. Jesus knew about her, and Jesus was ready to bless her life. And as we'll see, bless an entire city behind a woman
right. Next
time.
Well, I have something I want to read.
Okay.
And I think that...
Does that answer your question? Yes. Did I connect the dots?
Okay. I think it's going to go with what we just were... And if not, I'm sorry. I'm fuzzy. One of the most famous explorers of modern history is Scott of the Antarctic. Sadly, Scott and his party died during their trip. But only recently have scientists begun to understand perhaps why they died. It seems they starved themselves to death while eating.
Wow.
Sounds like nonsense, doesn't it? But it's not. Scientists tell us that we need to take in about 7,500 kilos of food each day in order to survive. Now, Scott and his party took in around three times the normal required amount of food, about 18,000 kilos per day. You would think that was enough, but it wasn't. You see, when you're doing really demanding work, such as dragging sleds across the Antarctic, you need around 42,000 kilos of food energy, or 6 to 7 times the normal amount, to survive. Scientists suggest that each member of Scott's team, despite eating three times the normal amount of food requirement, probably lost about 35 kilograms. In fact, they most likely starved to death, even though they were eating three times more than they normally did. You know, there are times in life when we are like those Antarctic explorers. We're faced with crisis, and we need much greater levels of support, care, and prayer than normal. And when our friends are going through those times, we must expect that they will need greater servings of our love, care, and prayers than normal, perhaps 6 or 7 times greater than normal. So the application is, our spiritual life is often like this. We feel that when things are tough or busy, that we can cut down on our intake of prayer, reflection, and fellowship. Yet it's precisely at these times that we need greater inputs if we're to avoid spiritual starvation. So the reason that I wanted to read this is because there are times in our lives that we need more than what God said is good for you today. Like, it may be good for me that I get up and I do my Bible study in the morning time, and then I go throughout my day. But I may be going through something and getting ready to go through something that I may need more than that. And that you guys may see that I need more than that. There are going to be times that we have to give more. We have to eat more. We have to take in more, spiritually speaking, in order for us to survive. Our instinct is, let that go because I have this big thing that I'm doing, and you know, God will understand. He's a God of you know, great mercy. He won't care that I didn't read my Bible this week or whatever it is that God's calling you to do. But what you need to understand is there are going to be times that you need 6 or 7 times more than what you normally do to survive. Jesus survived by doing the will of the Father, and we survive by doing the will of the Father. But sometimes we have to get in and take more than what we normally would take. Does that make any sense to anybody? Okay.
Good. Does anyone have anything? Oh, yes.
Come up here.
Yeah, come up here so we can have it on the mic. Yeah. And so others could hear. If that's okay. Hey, you.
What are you doing? Front row seats. Okay, sorry. So I like this little Bible app that I have. It gives me a verse of the day. It's always nice. Last week, it kind of related just a little bit. Well, this week, it did about the same. It's actually from Revelations, from the New Living Testament. And it's crazy that we're pretty much talking about food today, in a way. You guys are making me hungry. Let's just face it.
Sorry.
We're talking about food and indulgement in our spirit, in ourself, in Christ, you know. That's really what I'm feeling today's about. Well, Revelations 3:20 says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." And that right there, I'm like, okay, you know, I saw it this morning. It goes off at like 10 o'clock this morning. And I thought nothing of it. I was like, I never delete them. I just keep them there throughout the day. I'll look on it. And then we started talking about all this. I'm like, all right, yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I just wanted to share that.
No, that's good. Yeah, you're right. That's about intimacy. And, you know, how many would agree that when you go over to someone's house for a meal, that's probably some of the most intimate time that you can have with them, you know, because you're breaking bread, you're sharing food, and it's an experience of intimacy. And that's what Jesus is asking for. I'm knocking, and open it up, and I will have intimacy. I will dine with you. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Go. Oh, Herman. Can you do on the mic so that we can?
It's like the song said, I'll be loud.
Okay.
I forgot to see it.
The song today?
All work
all things together for your good.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're obedient and you sacrifice where you can, all things will work together.
Right. Obedience and then sacrifice follows as love. The sacrifice is not how we please God. That's what we have to get in our mind. It's not you being obedient to be sacrificial. Okay, Lord, I'm going to go ahead and do this. And even though I don't feel like it, and even though I'm going to do it to sacrifice this obedience to you. Well, that's not obedience. That's just, you know, surrendering to the higher power and saying, you know what? You can beat me up, and so I'm just going to go ahead and just give up. But instead, it's a relationship of love. And, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. And so when we give, whether it be a sacrifice, whether it be a sacrifice, an offering, whatever it would be, when we give it with a cheerful heart, in other words, we're doing it because we love him, because we want to give it to him, then that's when it does bring him pleasure. And that's when it does fulfill the true law of love. Because it's about relationship. It's about opening the door when he's knocking. I mean, there's many times, you know, we hear him knocking, but we don't let him come in. Because for whatever reason, the house is a mess. You know, we're not dressed. All these excuses of why we don't let somebody in. But he's knocking knowing our condition. He just wants to be with us. And him being with us will help our condition. Amen?
Amen. Sorry, I'm just playing with the baby.
I know. She's in such a good mood. And got the hiccups.
She's right behind you.
Okay. Hey, you. Praise the Lord. Okay, again, anyone else? Panda. Can you get on the mic? Because you're a ways back. Oh, okay. Well, it's welcome to the club.
Okay, so, you know, like you said, you know, everybody has their own calling, their own testimony, and all that. You know, like me, you know, we were young parents. You know, I was 14. You know, but you know, when you're 14 years old, you don't really think about it. They say, you know, what did you think when you found out you was pregnant? I didn't think it was a big deal. I was like, oh, it's okay. I can do this. I got this. You know, it's okay. You know, I can get through this. And the reason, because my mom always said, Mija, you know, you've been through so much. But that was my testimony. That was my sacrifice. My life was different than a lot of people. But I guess to me is, you know, I was a young mom. I was a young wife. I had my last child at 23. But I learned every step of the way. Every step of the way, I was like, okay. My mom always said, have faith. And, you know, growing up, have faith in, like, what is she telling me? You know, what do you mean by have faith? She's like, have faith in your circumstances, what you're going through. Because it all means something. At the end of the day, at the end, it's like a lesson, you know? What are you putting that sacrifice? We went through a lot, you know, and as everybody has had their own sacrifices. But what are you showing for it? Because there's always a positive at the end. You know, it's not going to be a negative. It's only going to be a negative if you don't see what God, the strengths, if you look for it. You know, like people say, man, you're a strong person. But you know, my life, God gave me all this stuff that I went through life. And he was always there. He always guided me. You know, and that's where the Hebrews thing comes in, where God was, when I was 14, God was who he was. When I was in the middle, God was who he is. And God's still going to be who he is later on, 20 years from now. So God doesn't change. He is the same person from the beginning until our end. He doesn't change. So I remember my husband was like, why do you like that verse? I go, it just makes so much sense. We change through life. We go through different struggles. We go through, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, and I see my kids going to school and they're like, Mom, you know, you're right. I don't know what it feels like to be a student in high school. I didn't hit that age. I never went to high school. You know, last grade completed was 7th grade. You know, I went straight to work after that. I had a kid. You know, what was I supposed to do? But I look at them, it's like, you know, life is so much simpler for them because of what I went through. I told my kids, don't do this, don't do that. Yeah, I'm strict. Maybe not as strict as some parents thought of my brother. But, you know, I'm pretty strict, you know, with my kids. I don't let them do certain things. And people are like, why? I go, because I know. I've been there. God didn't let me go through what I've been going through my whole life to let my kids walk right in back of me and do the same thing. So, you know, I love my kids, and sometimes they probably hate me. But I know they love me and they understand where I'm coming from. Yeah. You know, like when my son's like, Mom, I want to get married. Ooh, let me tell you. I was like, okay, I'm not going to tell you you can get married, but I'm going to tell you it's not an easy road. Yeah. Being married and putting yourself in a situation where it's like, it's not about you anymore. It's about you too.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess that's how I see God. It's like, it's not about me. It's basically about him.
Yeah.
What am I doing for him through my sacrifices? Yeah. My sacrifices. What am I doing for him? What am I doing for my kids to see that God's always been there no matter the bad situations and stuff like that? So you got to remember, God put you through stuff, but what are you doing with all of that? Are you just, you still dwelling in it? Or have you moved on and looked back and be like, wow, I'm strong because of all of this, but God got me where I'm at. You know, and I always tell my husband, because he always says, man, you're so hard. And I go, no, I'm not. I'm not. But I am who God has made me to be. In school, at work. I mean, life is stressful. And Teresa knows life is stressful at work. You know, you can easily get involved in things that maybe you shouldn't. And people are like, Panda, it's like, you know, yes, I'm different. But I'm going to tell you, I'm so different that when there's something going on in life with some of the girls, they text me, Panda, can you pray for me? Why would they ask me? because they know that I'm a little bit different than a lot of other people. You know, I'll send them prayer. My friend's little niece right now is going through, she has leukemia. She's going through, you know, some treatments and stuff. And she's like, Panda. And I was like, girl, you just have to have faith that no matter what the outcome is, it's God's will. You just have to remember that and don't question it. She goes, how do you do that? I go, faith. You just have to have a little bit of faith. Like they say, a mustard seed, just a little tiny bit of faith to know that God's there. No matter what your outcome is, God's there. And you have to have just a tiny little bit of faith for him to get you through your rough patches. Amen. So what is your sacrifice and what are you doing with it, basically?
Amen. That's good. Yeah, preach it. That's good.
Yeah. And I wanted to add to what Panda's saying. For those of us, and what you said, when we need a little extra from our friends and not to forsake the gathering and stuff, well, we go through the things that we've gone through and it helps us to build relationships. But Scripture tells us for the older women to teach the younger women. And for the older men, and I'm saying that, and I don't mean chronologically older.
There you go.
I don't mean chronologically, I mean older Christian also as well. Yes, it meant, it did mean for the older women, for the adult women in the church to teach the younger women in the church. Mm-hmm. But not just chronological, but spiritual and through experience.
That's good. Yeah.
You know, and so, and if we don't do that, if we don't lift others, and this is where church has become so bad, and I grew up in churches that were like this, were like, yeah, you see that shirt she's wearing, do you really think that's appropriate for church? And it just starts with that, or, you know, and just little things, and we start crushing each other instead of lifting each other up and trying to help guide each other. You know, because he puts us together for a reason, and he gives us our experiences for our children, for our families, and also for the people that we attend church
with. Our faith family.
Yeah, because those are the ones that we're probably going to be the most in contact with, the most intimately outside of our family. So, you know, and he knows who to draw together to who.
That's good. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's really good.
Anybody else?
Anyone else? Any in caps today? Anyone? Okay, thank you, Father. She's just a happy girl today. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you, number one, showed us what true food is, Lord, that it was to do the will of the Father. And Lord, I pray that for all of us here, Lord, including myself, Lord, that we would be individuals that could submit and yield, Lord, to what you have for our lives, and we can do it with a heart of surrender, and Lord, a heart that would learn and realize that, as Banda said, Lord, you don't change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that we know that your love, Lord, is faithful, and that you are faithful to us, Lord. And so, Father, we just pray right now that you would help our hearts, Lord, to connect with the reality that you are for us and that you're not against us. And that our sacrifices and our offerings are nothing compared to our obedience and our love back to you. And we just ask this in Jesus' name to be fully working in us. Amen. Before we go, we have a birthday boy in the house. Tim. He's got a headset on. He can't hear. You're going to have to go wake him up. Tim! Day to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Timmy. Happy birthday to you. Vicky's was yesterday? Oh, my goodness. And Elena's was Friday? You guys are in good company. Yes. Yeah, well, that's that is the day. And I made it through it, feeling better. Any of you who have been sick in body, I would normally have Joe and Christine up here, but they're both sick. So let's pray for them. Father, we just ask you right now to touch Joe and Christine, Lord, right now in their bodies. We pray, Lord, for a supernatural healing to come to them, Lord, as they have prayed for so many. Believing, Lord, that you are the healer, Lord, we now come before you, Lord, for them. And we ask likewise, Lord, that you would heal their body. As they have sowed, Lord, healing into so many, Lord, by spending their time and all of their resources, Lord, we pray that you would let that be returned to them now. Let them reap healing, Lord, and such a way, Lord, that they even have supernatural strength tomorrow, Lord, for the day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. God bless you all. You have an awesome day. And we'll see you next week. Oh, next week we have a special guest. She is coming up from Corvallis. She plays the piano. She's a really good friend of Gay and I's. Her name's Kristen. And I always just call her Kristen. I'm dropping her last Wambach. Kristen Wambach. And she is really good on the piano, and she's been really praying about having something for us. So I encourage you guys to come and invite others to come, because I know it's going to be a powerful time. Okay? Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thanks.